Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with lessons in the Gospel through Mark. I sincerely hope that you're reading and rereading this book. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've been having a real personal blessing as I've talked to you and discussed with you the wonderful truths that the Lord Jesus reveals to us concerning his person and his purpose in this Gospel through Mark. As you know, it's the shortest of the four Gospels, and yet it's just as rich in truth as Matthew, Luke, and John. Somebody asked me the question, which book do you like best? I always say, well, whatever book I'm teaching, they're all so wonderful, and you never, never, never get to the end of it. I mean by that, you never master a book. You enjoy truth for 50 years, and still you haven't plumbed the depths of it. This is the marvel of it. You can take a book of man, and you can master it because man made it. But when you come to the Word of God, who can plumb the depths? You read that 40th chapter of Isaiah. It'll just, the marvel of it, the sovereignty of God in one hand and his tenderness to the lambs on the other. He takes the lambs to his bosom. Who is there like unto him? Nobody. We say with the psalmist, whom do I have in heaven but thee? Who is there on earth beside thee? Or take the 139th psalm, the marvelous thing you know. If you run to the farthest ends of the earth, when you get there, you'll find him waiting for you. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, excuse me, we're in the Gospel through Mark. We're in chapter 10, starting in at verse 17. In our last lesson, we were dealing with the question of marriage and divorce and the children. Now we come to a remarkable little story here, incident, I should say, rather. Our Lord is on his way to Jerusalem. He's left Galilee. He's coming down on the other east side of Jordan. And people come round him. The Pharisees try to test him and so on. Now we come to verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said to them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I'd like to stop here. It really goes on down to verse 31. I'm going to stop right there. Now here's a rich young ruler who came running to Jesus, and he kneeled down to him. That in itself is a remarkable thing. Here's a man who's a moralist, a fine, upstanding young man. He's wealthy. And he ran and kneeled down to Jesus and said, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, Why do you call me good? There's none good but one. That is God. Now notice the question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now in verse 15, our Lord had said to his disciples, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Mark the contrast of the two. I just suggest this. If you want eternal life, you have to come like a little child to belong to the kingdom of God where everyone is eternal. You've got to come with a simplicity, that simple faith of a child. But I want you to mark the man, because afterwards we read that our Lord loved him. He fell at Jesus' feet and asked the question. Now, when he asked the question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He manifested ignorance of two things. It's very simple. He was manifesting ignorance of his own condition before God. As a sinner needing a Savior, I am sure never entered his mind that he needed a Savior. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? There are so many today who are religious, moral, but ignorant. You mean to tell me, sir, that I've got to take the place of a sinner before God in order to be saved? Yes. See, the trouble is we don't believe we're sinners. Oh, we say all have sinned. Yes. But are you a lost sinner? Oh, I'm as good as you are, Mitchell. Well, is that what you're going to tell God? As good as that preacher. Listen, friend, you got the same attitude this fellow had. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He didn't realize his own condition. As I said a moment ago, he never thought himself as a sinner needing a Savior. Never even entered into his head. And I'm sure I'm saying this correctly, that there are tens upon tens of thousands of people on the Pacific Coast, in your city, in my city, it never enters their heads that they need a Savior. You see, the problem today is that people have never seen the righteous character of God. All they see is their own goodness. May I remind you again, Romans 3:10-12 says, as it is written, this is what God sees, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's a quotation from the Psalms. God looked down upon the earth, and behold, there was none righteous, no, not one. There was none that understandeth. There was none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way, that together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, Mitchell, I don't believe that. Well, my friend, whether you believe it or not, this is what God says. I'm not saying this. I'm just telling you what God says through his word. Remember, God is absolute in holiness and righteousness. God is light. What does light do? It reveals darkness. It dispels darkness. But it also reveals sin. When the sunshine strikes across your piano, which you thought you had dusted this morning, you see some dust. You couldn't see it until the light shone upon it. And that's the trouble today. People need to have the light of the Word of God shine upon them to realize what they are. For brevity's sake, may I suggest this. God has come to a conclusion concerning men. When I say men, I'm including the whole human race. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22 says, the Scriptures hath concluded all under sin. Romans 11:32, we read, and God hath concluded all, Jew and Gentile, in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. You see, friend, what we need is not to be brushed up. What we need is to be cleansed and made anew. As 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So I see the first time this man, when he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, he manifested ignorance of his own condition before God. You know, I'd like to ask you a question. How do you stand before God? How do you stand before God? If you were to be ushered right now in the presence of God, how would you stand? Would you be scared? Would you have peace? Would you rejoice? Whether you like it or no, you have to stand before God sometime or another. And one of these days you're going to stand before Him, before His throne. How are you going to stand? Now, this man had a very good desire. I want eternal life. Well, who doesn't? That's one of the great cries of the human race. How can I live forever? How can I live forever? How can I get rid of my sins? This boy didn't believe he had any sins. He believed he was so good. But even though he knew he was so good, he didn't have eternal life. And I think way down his heart, he believed that Jesus Christ in some way could help him. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal time? You don't inherit life. You don't buy life. You don't work to get life. This was his second mistake. First one, he was ignorant of his own condition before God. Then he manifested his ignorance on how to get life. Life, of course, you and I well know, life can only come one way. That's through relationship. Let me keep those two things in your mind as we go through this passage. His ignorance of his condition, needing a Savior. And can I say this? It may be I'm talking to some right now who would tell me with in no uncertain sound, you don't need a Savior. I'm good as anybody else. I'm as good as anybody else. Or you may say, Mr. Mitchell, I belong to the church and I've been baptized and I've been a religious all my life. How are you going to stand before God is what I want to know. You can't stand before God without a Savior. Have you ever taken your place as a sinner needing a Savior? Are you trying to do something to merit eternal life? How often I've talked to older men, I won't call them old men, but older men in hospitals who tell me that they're trusting the golden rule or trusting the Ten Commandments. At least they say, "Why, Mr. Mitchell, I've got my own religion. I do the best I can. I try to keep the golden rule and I try to keep the Ten Commandments." Well, I say, "Do you do it?" "Well, I do it the best I can." Well, that won't save you. If what you say is true, as I said to one dear old man, if what you say is true, sir, God made a grave mistake when he sent Jesus to die for you. He said to me, "What's that?" I said, "If what you say is true, God made a mistake in sending Christ to die for you." Why did God send his Son to die for us? Because there was no other way. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. Man is absolutely unrighteous, unholy. Now listen to it. Now the Lord raises a question. "Why do you call me good?" The Lord didn't argue with the boy when he said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He said, "Why do you call me good?" There's only one who can qualify for that, and that's God. "But you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing thou lackest, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, follow me." He was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now the man that said, this young fellow said, "What shall I do?" So the Lord met him on the ground of doing. You want to do something? So Jesus repeated part of the law of Moses. And in verses 19 to 20, you have his responsibility to man. You remember the law, the Ten Commandments, There are four which give to us our relationship to God, our responsibility to God. And then the other six are our responsibility to man, my responsibility to God and also to man. And this boy was a very good boy. Jesus said, you know what the commandments are, and he mentioned the relationship or our responsibility to man. And his answer was, I've kept them all. All these have I kept from my youth. Now, one of them, could you say that? Could you say that? Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother. I've kept all those. Here is a model, moral young man. I'm sure when he walked down the streets, the mothers would say to their boys, I want you to be just like that fellow. He's a good boy. He's a wonderful fellow. Look at how he takes care of his father and mother. He never lies. He never kills. Doesn't commit adultery. Doesn't steal. Doesn't bear false witness. Never defrauds anybody. Honors his people. I've kept all these from my youth up. And the Lord didn't question that. The Lord didn't question that. This boy was a good man in the sight of God, in the sight of man. He was considered possibly an ideal man of the world. He's rich. He's moral. He was good. But remember, the one thing he did not have was eternal life. Notice it. He was rich. He was moral. He was good. He was a law keeper. And I see Jesus never questioned him on that. But the one thing he wanted he didn't have. What was that? Eternal life. Now the Lord turned to him and said, verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And the fellow was sad at that saying and went away grieved because he had great possessions. What did Jesus do? Jesus asked him about his relationship to God. You see, this young man had an idol. What was his idol? His wealth. He had great possessions. Notice, Jesus didn't say to the fellow, sell what you have and follow God. You want eternal life? Follow me. Me. You've got an idol. Your wealth, your possession stands between you and God. Between you and me. You know, the Lord looked upon him and loved him. And when Jesus loved somebody, believe me, he loves them. But the fellow turned his back on divine love. He loved something better. He loved his wealth. He loved his possessions. This boy had an idol. And he wouldn't give up his idol. You and I are not saved by selling what we have and giving to the poor. That's not the issue. The issue is eternal life. And when the boy said, I want to do something, all right, then you must complete, if you want to do something to get eternal life, as Galatians chapter 3 says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But this boy wanted to be saved, wanted life by doing. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. What did he lack? Eternal life. What did he lack? Salvation. Do you want it? Go your way. Sell whatever you have. Give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Life is wrapped up in me. And the boy went away sad, grieved. He had great possessions. I want eternal life. I want to earn it. Sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. No, his possessions had become his idol. Let me come back to the law. He had fulfilled, the Lord didn't question it, his relationship to his neighbor. But what about his relationship to God? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you remember that? This boy had a god. And he went away without eternal life. Eternal life, my friend, can only be received through relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. If I want life eternal, I must be related to somebody who's eternal. Jesus Christ here is declaring himself to be not only the giver of eternal life, but that he himself is God, and in him is life. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. Follow me, he said to this boy. The man went away. He wouldn't give up his God. My friend, are you saved? Do you have eternal life? You think about it, will you? There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. I just trust, as we've been trying to present this to you, that you will accept the Savior and come into right relationship with him. To have Jesus means to have life. Not to have Jesus means not to have life. But you'll come under the wrath and judgment of God. Oh, that you might, just in simple faith like a child, take him as your Savior. Do it today for his name's sake.